and welcome back to A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where I, your host, Cole Brzezinski, get to sit down with interesting people from interesting businesses as we pick them apart, see what makes them run, and see where they're screwing us over. And that's what we're going to do today. We brought in a marketer, but not just any marketer. Justin, you work in SEO. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. My name is Justin Spradlin. I'm from Bellingham, Washington, or I live in Bellingham, Washington. And I with my partner Britt, run an SEO marketing agency called Growing Your Traffic. And we get businesses ranked to the top of Google without paid ads.
That's what you say, at least.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll back it up.
I'm going to get to the truth of this. So, first of all, what are some misconceptions that people might have about working with SEO and digital marketing?
I think the biggest misconception with any single thing, with any single type of digital marketing, any single tool, like I view SEO as kind of a tool in digital marketing. There's a lot of different types of digital marketing. I know, like, what you do with the video content is digital marketing, right? You're putting it out there. It's getting eyeballs or people to come view you and maybe want to interact with you, maybe want to do business with you. So SEO is one of those tools, and I don't think any single tool is a magic bullet. Sometimes people come in with this idea that they just need this one thing. If they just have this one thing right, they will get all the doors of the universe will open up to them. And it really is a multi-tool strategy. You know, it's to get eyeballs, because you're competing against so much right now. Mm. Competing for people's attention takes a lot of effort. So I know for ourselves, we don't just rely on SEO for our own marketing efforts within our business. We have many strategies that we use to try to get business for our agency.
Okay. All right. Well, so out of curiosity then, what are some of the other strategies, the other tools in this toolbox of digital marketing that we could look at?
Yeah. For digital marketing specifically, there's nothing really currently that beats email or text marketing. Mm. Next, I would view short form video content is doing really well right now. It's replicable on many different platforms, and there seems to be a lot of engagement with short form content right now, which seems to be really helpful. I also think there's obviously still a place for long form content too. I know that myself, there's several podcasts that are in the, 2.5-4 hour range that I listen to regularly. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what the conversion is on something like that. And then there's really nothing, I don't want to say nothing, but there's also still a place for traditional means of communication. So mm-hmm. cold calling, in-person networking, word of mouth still has a huge factor, because what it does is word of mouth, for instance, it gives trust from the beginning, right? So if you have a person that you trust, a friend who recommends you somebody else who's they're connected with, you already have a little bit of trust built versus someone who's calling out of the blue is just another company of thousands that are out there.
Right. Okay. Well, nothing seemingly wrong with your answer there. So we'll let you slide there.
Thank you.
Is SEO really actually that necessary for the modern business?
I think it depends. Yeah. It depends on if that modern business is trying to grow, if a business is happy where they're at, you're on your way out, you're wanting to retire or you're happy with the small market that you have and having consistent work, and you're not trying to grow a team, you're not trying to expand, you're not trying to do more business year over year, then maybe not. But if you are trying to grow, if you are trying to have your business continue to be a vehicle for whatever it is you want to do, or if you want to automate certain things, it just really depends. I think that if you're, again, it really just comes down to growth. If your business is committed to growing, being at the top of Google is super necessary.
All right. And what's it going to take to get me to the top of Google, to be the first search result? Is it going to cost me millions, or is it going to cost me like a couple $100?
Between the two of those. But it really depends on if you're a local or national business or international business. Mm. And it depends on your competition. It's like you have to look at what the competition in your space is doing and what it looks like their marketing efforts are. We do a pretty in-depth evaluation of every business that comes to us to take a look at not only their business and where they're currently ranked, but where competitors in their industry are ranked and in the areas they're competing. Mm. So it's like the service and location are both kind of like two sides of that coin.
Mm. So It seems to me that there's a lot of people out there who are offering SEO services. We talked about my good friend Siddhartha.
Right.
Totally legitimate businessman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's out there offering digital marketing services. If you were to give me an estimate, your best guess, mm-hmm. out of all the SEO agencies that are going to be emailing me, how many of them are legit? Are we looking at like 90% of them? They're probably safe. They're good to work with. Siddhartha, totally reliable. Or should I maybe be thinking maybe 80% of these guys aren't worth the time of day?
You know, that percentage, I really don't have an answer for the percentage. Mm-hmm. I will say I get those emails almost every day myself. And I rarely see them. It's just rare that I see one that I actually go, oh, this person might be worth talking to. I do think that it's that a lot of us in today's world, you know, are pretty good at telling what is real and what is not, what is spam or what is not. You know, you can kind of tell, and it depends on what their offer is, right? If they're just immediately offering you something that seems too good to be true, then maybe not. If they're offering to say, hey, I'd love to have a conversation with you, or I took a look at your website, and this is what I found, and it's like specific to you. They're taking a little more time, do a little research on you. That helps me feel like I trust them a little bit more. And that's something I'll do for prospects as well, as I may record a quick audit of their website. And it's, you know, it's got me and my face on camera. So it's like, you know, that I didn't, you know, fake this, and I've got your website pulled up, and I'll show you kind of what I see on your website. So you're not, you know, so it's not just you're one of 10,000 people I emailed today. You know, it's like, I really took time to look at you and consider that I could actually help you before I reached out.
So can you walk us through a little bit of your reaching out process? How do you guys find new clients? Because obviously you guys are SEO specialists. People are going to be just coming to you naturally by the search algorithm. But do you do the cold emails? Do you call people up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Cold emails and cold calls are really good too. You know, getting someone on the phone is a really helpful. You have their attention at that point, right? Instead of just being one of many emails in their inbox, but being one of many emails in their inbox far beats being one of many posts on their feed. Yes. So it's kind of different, you know, different rankings on that. And it depends on like who it is you're going after. You know, and time zones can be a thing. If you're trying to reach someone in another country in a very different time zone than yours, you know, email might be a better bet than trying to, you know, make international calls to get them on the phone.
Yeah. What do you find your success rate tends to be with the cold calling a business? It's like 1 in 100 are interested.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're doing 3 out of 100, you're doing pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes a lot of calls. That's okay. A lot of people are busy, or a lot of people, they may not trust you. And sometimes you just need to follow up too. You know, it takes a lot of follow up.
No, it's just part of the game. I think my favorite is whenever I get an email from these cold email types, and you could tell that they went to ChatGPT, but they didn't edit it. And so it's still saying then like insert customer name here and what have you.
Yeah. I'll use ChatGPT somewhat for those, maybe just to give me like a skeleton of what I want to write. Or if I'm getting like writer's block, or I've written a bunch of these, but I do my best to try to write them personally and try to make them seem, you know, like I want it to be clear that I wrote this, that I took the time to type this. You know, I don't want it to just be a copy and pasted thing.
Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about how you'll offer your own little audit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's even a video component of just you walking through their website.
Sure.
What are other ways that you use to demonstrate that you're serious in this field, that you have what it takes?
Case studies are a big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll send over case studies that show, it's redacted for our clients, you know, privacy and confidentiality, but I'll show where a client may have been ranking for the keywords we start with. Typically it's around 50 and we'll show either if they're, you know, they were ranked really low or if they were ranked not at all. Mm-hmm. And then we'll show kind of what their rankings have moved to over a period of time. And we'll also show the volume of search that is coming in on their website too.
Right. All right. That's interesting. Because the case studies makes it sound like there's a science behind it.
I would say so. Yeah. I'm not the one with the lab coat, though. You'd have to talk to Britt about the actual science behind what we're doing.
But like these are studies that you guys are conducting in-house effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. They're just case studies of like, these are the results we've been able to do consistently for our clients.
Right. Okay. So let's move on, because I haven't found your weak point yet, and I'm determined to find it.
I'm sure it's there.
So what is an uncomfortable truth about the effectiveness of SEO that clients don't want to hear? I gotcha.
Well, I just don't want to be, I have an answer. I have the answer that I think is right, but it's really, if your product or service sucks, it doesn't matter how many people I send to your website. If what you're selling isn't good, you're not going to get anywhere, right? It's like, if you're selling snake oil, just like these other, sometimes talk about other SEO agencies that are selling snake oil. And that's a difficult thing for our industry. But if that's what you're selling, or you're selling a product that you haven't proven can actually work, then it's really tough. It doesn't matter how many people I send to your website. We could send hundreds of thousands of people there and you still might be struggling because your offer sucks. And that's an unfortunate truth, and it's normal, and it happens in business, and it's like, it's not anything to be ashamed of. It's just that the thing that I would always recommend to somebody before they come to an SEO agency is prove that your model works. Prove that you have what it takes to get a client, to get someone to pay you for your product or service and be happy about it. And at least maybe just be happy to leave a review. Even if that's only a couple people that you cold called, or you reached out to, or you went and met in person and said, hey, please try this. Even if you're giving it to them for free, whatever it is, just to get some feedback that says, hey, I would pay you real money for this, or here's real money for this product or service. If you do that first, then we can really scale this thing, right? And it's like a good example that I would give is like, let's say you're a farmer, right? If you can produce really good apples, even on a couple trees, I can build you an orchard.
No, there you go. It's one of the other things that I had the unfortunate realization is that sometimes the offer is fine even, but it's the website.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I will say that, you know, crappy websites can still sell. They can still convert if they got enough people coming and the actual product is good. But yeah, the presentation is huge. And one of the things I'll talk about with, like, for websites, for instance, right, is websites are kind of like, if you compared them to like a physical retail store, right, they're your digital store. And you could have the most beautiful store in the world that sells the exact products to like if the right customer comes in and they see your store, they say, this is the most beautiful, perfect store. I will give you all my money. I want to be here. If you place that store in the middle of a cornfield in Nebraska, no one's coming in. So yes, it is important to have that pretty store that helps convert, that helps sell, that helps showcase what it is that you do and makes it really palatable and make those people want to buy. But if you have no traffic coming to that website, if you have no people walking in the door of your store, you don't have a business.
No, it's the unfortunate reality, which is why website development, some people spend ungodly amounts of money on that stuff. I won't say who it was, but there's a particular web designer that I met a little while ago, and I went and checked out their website because I was expecting to be impressed. Like, you do this for a living. Garbage.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah.
No, it's...
They're not all created equal. You know, it's like I can, you know, there's a difference. Like I could pull out my iPhone and record video. Right. But it's different than being in the studio with proper equipment and somebody that really knows how the whole system works. There's a different level of quality in all these things that we do.
Mm-hmm. Same thing goes with SEO, I'm sure. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got away from that one, but, this next one is going to
catch you. I'm ready for it.
So, SEO, you guys keep going on about how it's a monthly process. It's continuous. You're always refining it. Why can't my website just be done? Why do I have to keep adjusting it?
I mean, it's because your competition's not sleeping.
Oh, heck, you're so, right.
if you want to sleep on it, you want to take a break, you want to stop, that's fine. But eventually someone is going to come and they're going to take your spot. They're going to, because only one person can be number one. That's the nature of being number one, right? There's only one person there. And in all games, you know, like business is a competition. It's a very competitive competition. I heard it put once that it is a 24/7 competition. In any competition, if you want to be number one, you have to practice, you have to work, you have to try to, you have to compete. And if you start sleeping on that, you don't maintain it, you don't keep it up, and you start slipping, you will slip from number one, and then your competition is going to start eating your lunch.
So what does that continuous month-to-month adjustments and maintenance look like?
What do you mean by that?
So what do you guys do from month 6 to month 7? Like, what are you guys changing in that time?
Yeah, at that point, it's really going to depend on where you're currently ranked, right? If we've gotten you to number one in, like I said, we start with 50 keywords. If we've gotten you number one for all 50 of those keywords, we add in another 50 keywords and we start working on that because we want to continue to expand that net that we're casting to capture as much audience as we possibly can. And then we also do the things that keep you maintained on top. So once you're at that maintenance level for certain keywords, it becomes a little easier and we don't have to put as much resources into maintaining as we do to climbing. To, you know, to climb the mountain is much harder than to walk around the top of it, to walk around the summit, right?
Right.
You still have to keep in motion. You still have to keep, you know, defend your place, but it's a little easier once you already have ascended to there to stay up there. And that depends on the keywords. Some keywords are super competitive where you're constantly fending off your competition and you really have to keep efforts going there, but some of them aren't. And so we'll look at those keywords that are a little easier to maintain and we'll move some of that budget into new keywords to cast a wider and wider net so that you're capturing more and more business month over month. Mm. Because we want to, the overall result that we want to see is that your traffic continues to increase. So your leads continue to increase. And so your revenue continues to increase.
So remind me, it's been a while since we've had this conversation, but keywords. Mm-hmm. So are these just words that are on my website's page where if I just keep saying one of my things is I run a podcast studio. If I just have a webpage that says the word podcast 50 times in a row, does that mean I got the keyword? Am I doing well?
I mean, you have the keyword in there. So Google knows it's a podcast, but there's a lot of other podcasts. There's a lot of competition there. So you get a little more specific, right? So you're getting into the specific type of podcast that you do. And, you know, keywords, the specific science of keyword research isn't really my specialty. Like definitely Britt is the expert on that. And she does a lot of the keyword research or helps our team run keyword research at least. Mm-hmm. I would say that, yeah, getting those keywords on your website is important, but that is one of the early steps, right? So what your own website communicates is one thing. And then the other bigger, more important, honestly, piece of that after you have that set is that you have other websites that are also saying this podcast or that, you know, we're pointing back, verifying your podcast quality and authenticity and all the things that make Google trust it.
I think in a previous episode, Britt was referring to that as backlinks. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
All right. That's good to know. I'm learning. You've proven your value once again.
I'll do my best to stay up here. We'll see.
But not against this question. This one of my best. So what are some of the pitfalls or mistakes that businesses will make when they attempt to adjust their own SEO?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't want to make this dramatic because the answer is a little dramatic, but the real answer is that if you take the wrong advice or you let the wrong person into the back end of your website, and you implement any sort of spam tactics that Google punishes, that punishment isn't just your website loses place in rankings, which may happen, that would be a first step, but you can also be blacklisted completely. Really? To the point where you have to start over from scratch with a new website, new domain, start this whole process over from the beginning.
Can you explain the blacklist thing? Does that just mean like no matter what someone does, they will never find your website?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's really straight to the point. Okay, all right. And what are some of those spam tactics? Is it if I'm putting the word podcast in my webpage 50 times in a row?
Yeah, that's one.
Oh.
Yeah, that many times of podcast. While it says podcast, that is at that 50 number is getting to that spam territory for sure.
All right.
Yeah. So but we're happy to help you out with whatever you need, Cole. We'll get you squared away before you get to that point.
Before I get to that point. So like realistically though, unless someone's trying to game the system or they're getting really bad advice, you're probably not going to accidentally blacklist yourself.
No, I would say that the more likely scenario is that you just aren't found, which is not good, you know, if you want business.
Yeah.
So you might not put yourself in a position that you'll never be found. There's two very different things, right? Someone who has the chance to recover and get up to the top of Google versus someone who that is gone now. You know, their website's essentially deceased.
So if someone was to do it themselves, I kind of think of it like someone trying to cut their own hair.
Sure.
Eventually you could do it.
Yeah.
But if I cut my own hair, my wife's not going to let me out of the house.
Sure.
If I was to do my own SEO, is it going to work probably, or am I just going to end up hurting things more so than not?
I would say it depends on how much time you want to put into it. You know, I've met people that can cut their own hair, but they spent hundreds of hours learning how to do it. The best I can do is shave my head. I can shave my own head with a three guard all over. I used to do that in college, save a little money. And you could probably get away with that level of, you know, shaved head tactic that maybe won't hurt you, but isn't a very nice haircut.
Right.
The reality is, if you want to do it yourself, the amount of time that you would spend to actually move the needle and actually do really good work is, in my opinion, a waste of time if your business is anything other than SEO.
Right.
Because you are spending so much time on that when you should be, in my opinion, focused on what actually makes your business better. Mm. If you spent that time instead on improving your product or your service or whatever it is that you do, you are just so much better off than you are, you know, spending that amount of time on SEO. Like, for instance, like for me, right? Like I was pretty good at math. I do a pretty good job. I don't need to learn how to be an accountant. I'm better off paying an accountant to take care of my stuff and not get me in trouble with the IRS than I am to try to do it myself.
Right.
No. There's a high risk there.
Yeah. It's, I know I keep saying it, but it really is one of those things where I've looked at SEO in the past and it just is daunting.
Yeah.
There have been times where I've sat down, I've listened to a few lectures about SEO from a few other different experts, I guess. One of the fellows I found pretty early on was, he runs Ahrens,
okay.
A-H-R-E-N-S, I think. And they got a whole bunch of tools. And I got 3 hours into their course, I'm like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. There is so much.
Yeah. There's a lot of content out there. There's a lot of content on everything. You know, during COVID, I watched a 3-hour expert video on how to sharpen kitchen knives. You know, you can really spend as much time as you want learning any skill, and whether or not that's going to, you know, my question, I guess, with that is like, is this a hobby and something you're just interested in and you would be using your free time that you would otherwise be watching TV or something? Then sure, spend your time doing that. But if you're spending working hours doing this, I think you're wasting your time, and you really should be not focused on that. You'd be better off to generate a little more revenue and pay someone else to take care of this for you.
So perhaps this would better be a Brit question, but give me your best estimate that if a business wanted to take one of their own employees, one of their own marketers, mm-hmm. and they're like, you know what? We need someone to do SEO.
Yeah.
We're going to train you. It's going to take some time. What size should a company probably be where it's worth them investing those kinds of resources? Are we talking about like a small mom and pop where they're bringing in $100,000 a year? Or are we talking like a company that's doing 7 figures? That's when it's finally time for them to start thinking about either hiring in or developing their own talent.
I think that line would be probably very individual. I definitely know of companies that hire in-house SEO specialists, that it is a thing. But I also know that, you know, some of our clients are in those 7-8 figure businesses, and they prefer to hire us because we're, you know, outperforming what they could hire in-house. We're actually saving them money. They don't have to pay us benefits. They don't pay me sick pay, you know, things like that. And we're also saving them money on their ads campaigns. You know, I think of one client who, they pay us a fraction of what they were paying for Google Ads. They were, you know, they were paying approximately $40,000 a month in Google Ads. And in about 18 months, we were outperforming it to the point where they stopped their Google Ads campaign.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
On a fraction of that budget.
So they got to be making like serious money if they're going to bring in someone full time to do their own SEO.
Yeah. I mean, that company probably does easy 7, 8, maybe 9 figures. I'm not sure their exact valuation, but they could pay someone to do it, but it doesn't make sense for them. And
right.
So I don't know what company it would make sense for.
So if a larger corporation, again, like we're talking 7, 8, 9 figures every
year,
if they're going to bring in an SEO guy, they're probably going to, at that level of business, probably going to be paying them like 6 figures.
Easy. Yeah.
Easy. But then at the same time, you guys have a team of 10 people. If they're going to bring in a 10 SEO specialists, even if they're doing different things like content writing, probably going to be looking at like $1 million investment.
Yeah, exactly. And they're whoever their lead is on that, it's probably going to be easy multiple 6 figures at that point. And then they have the rest of the team. They're all going to be paying not only their salary, but their benefits package, all that other stuff. You know, you can hire our team to do that. For instance, one of the companies that I think of about this, that is a large company that's easily doing 7, 8, 9 figures a year, publicly traded company. They're paying us, I believe, $72,000 a year for our entire team.
That's not bad.
Yeah. You're going to have a hard time beating that price on any single employee, let alone a team of 10.
Yeah.
If you break it down by the team of 10, we're talking $7,200 a piece a year. good luck finding a cheaper way to do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. Like, that's median income of the average American household right now, or something like that.
Right. So it's like paying a low salary to one person, and instead you get a team of 10.
That's not bad. You got away from me again.
Well, I'm slippery today.
Okay. Well, how about this one then? One man business. He's doing his own SEO, but you know what? He's been setting aside steadily more money into his marketing. At what threshold does he start thinking to himself, I need to bring in a SEO and marketing company or agency to work with me? Is it when he's putting in $250 regularly? Is it when he hits 1,000, 2,000, 5,000? What point do they come to you?
Yeah, I think the monetary question is important, but I think the bigger question is really, are they ready to hire? Because if they're not ready to hire, if they're not ready to scale, then SEO isn't really the right avenue for them to begin with. Mm. But if they are ready to hire, if they're like looking like, hey, I've been doing this one man show for a while, I'm ready to hire a second person to replicate what I do, I'm ready to hire a team, I'm ready to start building, then SEO is going to be really crucial for that, because you're going to start getting in a lot of leads from Google being at the top. And when you're ready to start hiring, you're going to be ready to start getting more business.
Interesting. Have you found that that's historically what tends to happen with your clients?
It depends. You know, some clients are at that position and they're ready to scale, and they're coming to us, and we, you know, we make sure that they are in that position and ready to start hiring more people before they come in. But sometimes people come in and they already have the established team, and maybe they're traditional marketing methods used to be working for them, but now they're starting to lose business and they're trying to figure out, how do I maintain paying my staff? How do I maintain my staff? How do I not get back to where I was at and then continue to grow? Mm. And so that's might be where they pull us in as well. Or if they're doing well and they're just like, they know they want to do better. They've capped out what their current marketing can do for them, or they're kind of reaching that threshold and they're looking to expand, because, you know, SEO is one of many buckets that you would want to invest in if you're trying to grow your online presence and trying to grow qualified leads. In my opinion, it's the best way to grow qualified leads, because the difference is between this and everything else that you're doing is that if someone is going to Google to type in what they're looking for, they've already sold themselves on your product or service. Mm. And now you're at the top. And so you capture that business that's already pre-sold to you.
Mm. That's a good way to frame it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's continue down that line of thought. So with the clients that have come to you, has there ever been a particular, it's not a grievance, but like a growing pain that's very common with them? Is it just the hiring aspect where, like, we got to expand our team a little bit faster than we expected? Or is there something else that maybe I'm not thinking of?
Yeah, I think growing pains are going to individual by, you know, different CEOs kind of, or, you know, different like heads of companies have different growing pains. Some people really love the work, the hands-on work, and they don't want to deal with the client facing stuff. They don't want to necessarily deal with the scheduling and all that. The admin work is really the headache for them. And there's others that come in and they're like, you know, I actually love the admin work. I love being at a desk. I love just interacting with the clients, and I don't want to go get my hands dirty anymore. You know, I want to sit behind a desk and, you know, not get my shirt gross every single day. You know, different people have those different growing pains. And I think that those, I think that it's pretty individual on what that might be. But I think that we're really there to take over a position of bringing in lead generation so they can focus on the other parts that make their business better.
You're allowing them to capitalize further on their own strengths.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay. Well, you guys have talked pretty often about how SEO, it is a long-term game, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be a long way for results.
Right.
Realistically, with your clients, given that's your most immediate pool to refer from, how long until your clients start to see those results?
It depends on their competition. And again, you know, it really depends. To see a massive increase in your rankings, we actually guarantee. We'll guarantee that you'll see a massive increase in your website's rankings within 100 days, or we'll give you your money back.
All right.
So that, you know, that, and that could be what that means for each business is kind of individual. And we would have to kind of have that personal conversation with each business to kind of get an evaluation of where they're at. If they're starting from zero, they're starting from, you know, if they're in position 10 and they want to be to number one, it's like, you know, there's all kinds of different factors. So it really depends on where your baseline's at, depending on like what that massive increase will look like and what that will translate to for dollars for you. But what I can say is that if you're in a position like, for instance, if you're in a bigger city and you're providing a service and you're currently ranked number 50, no one is scrolling past 49 other businesses to find you. It's not happening.
It's true. Well, how many times do people actually go to the second page of Google search results?
Yeah, second page is low. People rarely make it past the third one. That's the drop off from three to four is large. And the drop off from one to two is enormous. Just the first to second position is a huge, huge difference.
Well, Justin, that was all my questions.
I'm glad that we were able to handle them.
Well, I guess I'll just have to bring you back another time.
I guess so.
Well, thank you for coming by. I've enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Justin, where can people find you?
You can go to growingyourtraffic.com/Justin. That'll connect you to my LinkedIn page, and feel free to send me a message there. I'd love to connect with you.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode, have learned something new, and we'll be ready to take your business to the next level. In any case, take care and see you next time.